As Brian Sipes says, I won't keep you long. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 4, let's start in verse 18, and the context is about Abraham. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, it, the faith, it, the belief, it, was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, this verse here is the one that I'm after. Who was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. The word for there, the Greek word, is translated because of in other areas. And if I were to do that, notice what it'd be saying. Who is delivered because of our offenses and raised again because of our justification. In other words, God couldn't raise Jesus Christ from the dead until we were justified. Therefore, we that are justified were justified at Calvary based upon God's foreknowledge that we would believe. Now, the thing that I want to emphasize in that passage, though, is that Jesus Christ was not dying for himself. There isn't anything that implies that Jesus Christ was to receive anything from his death on Calvary, but that we are the ones that are to benefit from it. We're the beneficiaries. Now, the word substitute, according to the dictionary, is the act of placing one person in the place of another with full power to act or perform in that person's place. In other words, Jesus Christ was substituted on Calvary for or in behalf of us. He took our... Thinking about all this now, biblically, from Genesis 3, the scripture points toward the coming of a Redeemer. In other words, the Old Testament is about the coming of a Redeemer. All right, the Redeemer came on the cross. This back here looks forward to it. Over here looks back to it. So that the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, death on the cross, is the pivotal, that everything in the Bible pivots around that. No matter which way you read, the cross is the center of everything in this Bible. No matter how an individual preaches. If he preaches out of the Old Testament, then he's looking forward to the coming of a Redeemer. If he's preaching over here, he's looking back to the fact that the Redeemer came and died for our sins. But in either case, Jesus Christ is a substitute. Now, I want you to look at the principle of it all. And this, in fact, with the idea that a holy and a righteous God must punish the sinner. I want you to think about it. There isn't any way around it. A holy and righteous God must punish sinners. He cannot avoid it. There is no way to avoid it. It has to be done. And so, walking forward in an invitation in repentance and confessing of sins is not sufficient. It cannot bring salvation. God must punish sin. God must punish sinners, or he lied. So, if God is righteous, and he is, if God is holy, and he is, then he must do it. Legally, however you want to fix it, he can't get around it. It has to be done. I do not understand these preachers that are constantly preaching to these people, if you will repent of your sins and confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart, all is solved. No way it isn't. The death has to come. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam disobeyed the Lord. The Bible says that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that the woman was not in disobedience. In other words, the woman didn't know or didn't understand or some such thing, but Adam was in the transgression. Adam transgressed God's command, his law, and therefore he must die. Turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 18. There isn't any need to do that. Let me tell you. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God said, Adam, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. There is no getting around it. Well, now, I've got a problem. How, then, can God justify the sin of a man and yet allow that man to hide away? Righteous, that brings death, and yet not kill the man. Turn in your Bible, please, to Romans, and look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, the passage is clear. You all have memorized it. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned. Then we must die. It is not we must repent. It is not we must confess. It is not we must get baptized. It is not we must join the church. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Where did anybody scripturally, rightly dividing the word, ever get the idea, come forward at the invitation and repeat after me, repent of your sins, confessing them, and on and on and on. Where did they ever come up with that? Well, it had to be from the God of this world. If an individual wants to confess, instead of confessing their sins, confess Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And on and on and on. But they're told, confess your sins. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, once again, they take it out of its context, but that isn't all. They change it. They say that the Bible says that Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins and be baptized. That's the way they change it. But that's not what it said. Look in in Romans chapter 3. Notice in verse 4. God forbid, looks back to verse 3, but I'm after what comes now. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. In other words, if God said that people are going to die for sin, then bless God, they have to die. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. How then shall God judge the world? Well, the answer looks to me like that the whole world got to die. But if we all die, we're going to go to hell. If we all die, we're going to be cast away forever. If we all die, there'll be a day coming when we'll face God at the great white throne judgment, and we can say, Lord, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we done many mighty wonder works in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you, and we'll be cast into the lake of fire. So what's a mortal this? Without a substitute, there's no hope for anyone. But the substitute is put down in preaching. He's put aside in preaching. He's pushed over to the side. Well, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. That's the idea, you know. Oh, yeah, I believe in the virgin birth. Oh, yes. All this believism without trusting Jesus Christ that he died for our sins. Number two, being holy and righteous in order to have fellowship with man. God must provide the sacrifice. Look at the first one in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible said, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Well, you can't take an animal's hide, you can't take his skin off of him without killing him. So the Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So the beginning of the substitution starts in the Garden of Eden. So God, now listen to me. God said, Adam, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So along comes self-righteous mankind, and they're trying to figure all this out, you see, without the sacrifice. And so they said, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are one day. So therefore, Adam lived 900 and something years before he died, so he died in the same day. Day with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day, 2 Peter chapter 3 says. So man died. Adam died today, 950 years or somewhere there, right? Well, so he died the same day, they say. Somebody said, no, I disagree with that. Adam died spiritually. Well, it has more truth to it, I reckon, than the other, but still, no, bless God, Adam died that day. In a substitute. Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So they ate. And then they saw their nakedness. And they set about right then to do something to cover themselves. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There's a consciousness of a tremendous change in them. And so they hid in the garden, and here comes the Lord, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And then Adam shows up, said, I'm over here. What are you doing? Well, the woman thou gavest me. She did eat of the tree. She gave it to me, and I did eat also. She said, well, the serpent beguiled me, and I ate it. Doesn't matter. They must die. If they die, then everything that God has done is a total failure. And Satan knew that. So what's Satan doing? He's trying to overthrow the kingdom of Almighty God. God makes a man of the dust of the earth, breathes into him the breath of life. Man becomes a living soul. God said, Adam, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And Satan said, I can put a stop to that right now. I'll provide a way that this man will have to be killed by God himself. And so, whatever the tree of knowledge of good and evil is, he provoked Eve to partake of it, and Adam partook of it, and therefore Adam must die. And so if Adam and Eve die, there's no one left to replenish the earth. Satan has the victory. But it didn't work. And so God brings the little animals around, and Adam and Eve put their hands on the head of the animals, implying, this is my substitute. This represents me. This individual dying is going to be my death. And so God killed the animals, takes their skin, makes them clothing, and puts them out of the garden. Now they can have fellowship with God, but every time they have fellowship with God, they have to offer a blood sacrifice. So every year they come back and they offer a blood sacrifice, one after the other. Why? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So, look at the Old Testament types then. The Old Testament types begin to come onto the scene, are a type of this substitution. In other words, they are substitutions. Now, turn in your Bible, please, to Hebrews. And notice in Hebrews, take chapter 9 and chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, we'll start reading in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if an individual had offered a blood sacrifice and that would have made him perfect, then he wouldn't have to do it ever again. But he didn't. He continued to do it over and over and over. Because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Turn, please, in your Bible back to Leviticus and look in Leviticus chapter 1. All right, in Leviticus chapter 1, notice in verse 2, you'll have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 1, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Notice, it shall be accepted for him, or it shall be accepted instead of him. and I wouldn't be doing any harm to the scripture there. So instead of the man just going on and dying because of his sin, he offers a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is slain instead of him. Now look in chapter 23. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 19. Leviticus 23:19 says, "Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall wave them," and on and on and on and on. And it goes, in other words, my point is to illustrate the fact that the Old Testament types look forward to the coming of the Lord. Turn, please, to Romans. I look in Romans chapter 3. All right, in Romans chapter 3, we'll start in verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." In other words, the sins of the past. So I'm going to say then that this right here is a man back here that offered the animal sacrifice that couldn't take away his sin. But he did it by faith. God Almighty told him that's the way. And so by his own free will, he brought the sacrifice. But that sacrifice couldn't pay for his sins, so he died later on. And when he died, he couldn't go up to heaven. Sins weren't paid for. So he went down into the lower parts of the earth and waited there. And then Jesus Christ came, and when Jesus Christ died, He paid for the sins that are past. He paid the price for the sins where the blood sacrifice was offered that couldn't take away sin. Jesus Christ died for those sins when He died on Calvary. And that's true in Hebrews chapter 9 as well. Now, the Redeemer, tremendous amount that ought to be said about Him, and that would be almost like a complete different lesson. Now, turn back to Genesis 22. This sacrifice, I want to tell you, this sacrifice had to be a God-man. Somebody one time made the remark that Jesus Christ was half God and half man. Well, then he was a freak. Jesus Christ was all God and all man. Somebody said, well, that's a mystery. Yes. So therefore, this man, Christ Jesus, had to be born of a virgin. This man had to be of the human family to be able to die as a human. So, this man was born of a virgin. In being born of a virgin, he did not have the sin of Adam. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so had Jesus Christ been born as all other human beings had been born, He would have been just as sinful as we are. So therefore, God had provided a way so that this virgin could bear a son and that son not have the sin of Adam in his blood, in his veins. And so Jesus Christ then has to do with God Himself coming down to the world and taking upon Himself a body, a form of human flesh, so that He, as a human being, could go to Calvary and die for human beings all the way back to Adam. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, notice in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Jesus Christ is referred to by John the Baptist. John the Baptist pointed him out and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, look in John chapter 10. In John 10, notice in verse 14, John 10:14, he said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died instead of us. Christ died for us. Christ took our place. In other words, the love of God bears out the fact that Jesus Christ took our place on Calvary. Now, all you have to do, you just have to get a hold of the fact. Jesus Christ on Calvary was taking your place. Jesus Christ is your substitute in death. There isn't any other. There is no other way. No person in Pensacola or Florida or Alabama or whatever can be saved without that substitute. Just any substitute won't do. That's what I've been trying to show you. Back here, it wouldn't work. Animal sacrifices wouldn't pay for their sin. And so the substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died instead of you. And so you have to receive him. You have to claim him. You have to trust him to have taken your place. That's the idea. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm just trying to impress upon you the sacrifice having been made by God himself, just as he did in Adam's behalf. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now think about it. This sacrifice, then, cannot be an animal. That is clear. All the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament worked at that people from being cast into damnation. Yet, it couldn't take away their sins. So, your sacrifice can't be an animal, but it can't be an angel. Turn, please, to Hebrews, and look in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, have I begotten thee. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, so Jesus Christ couldn't be an angel. So Jesus Christ then becomes the God-man. Now, we read over there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, that the blood of these animals couldn't take away sin. So then, who is this sacrifice? Well, it's God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm trying to oversimplify this thing. You see, I want you to think. Listen, let's just say that I own a manufacturing company, and we manufacture lawnmowers. Our lawnmowers are the best in the whole world. And so they're going to have competition. So I'm going to hire you as a salesperson. But I'm not going to just put you out there on the field if you don't know anything about the lawnmower. I want you to know everything there is to know about that lawnmower. I want you to be able to compete. And so you come upon an individual and he says, I've got a such and such brand of lawnmower, and I had one before that, and it wore out in a year and a half or 2 years, and on. And so I want you to be able to show that man exactly how this lawnmower works, what it's all about. And so I bring you into the factory, and I put you on the assembly line, and so you go through the process of making lawnmowers so that you'll know how to answer people when you get out there. That's what Bible classes are about. Bible classes are so that you'll know what to do. How can you contend with people that say, well, I believe you have to repent and be baptized for remission of sin. I believe you have to hold out to the end to be saved, and on and on and on. That's what this is all about. That we might be prepared to go out there and face any denominational teacher in the world today and show them that there cannot be salvation without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Go please to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and notice in verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, then the blood that was shed at Calvary is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He purchased us with his own blood. So God was in Christ, and the blood was the blood of Almighty God, and so the God of this Bible, to justify himself and to keep himself righteous, instead of killing all of humanity, went himself in his son to Calvary and died for mankind. He became a substitute in death for all of mankind so that they could believe in him and trust him as their Savior. And the substitute has already been given. The work has been done. Turn, please, to Ephesians, and notice in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, now, I want to dive in there in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 4 and 5, but there's something I, in other words, there's a lot of things I can say about that, but I want to stay with the idea of substitution. So look in chapter 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by repenting of your sins and confessing your sins. No. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by water baptism. No. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometime were far off are made nigh by going to the altar and praying through and getting through to God. Repenting of your sins, confessing your sins to God? No. What then? But now in Christ Jesus, you sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Jesus Christ is the only means of substitution available to human beings today. All that business about repeating a prayer. Lord, I now repent of my sins. Lord, come into my heart and empower me that I might live a victorious life so that I could be saved in heaven someday. No. Redemption, salvation, substitution is through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, on and on and on. Well, then there isn't any doubt about it. There is a substitute. That substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God purchased us with His own blood. Then the passages that I read, he missed them. Acts 20, verse 28. His own blood. God was in Christ. Reconciled. Redeem His own blood. Ephesians 2:13. Christ on blood. Christ on blood then is the blood of Almighty God. Comparing the two. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Acts 20 verse 28. The blood of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. The blood of Christ. Well then I know the blood of Christ is the blood of God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. So how did God manage this thing then? Well, God managed it by becoming a human being, a frail human being who hungered, thirsted, got tired, had to rest, tempted in all points like as we are. That kind of man went to Calvary and died as a substitute for our sins. His death is our substitute. Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the idea. You don't need to get up. You don't need to sit down, stand up, walk, go anywhere, say anything or do anything. You don't have to pray at the altar. What do you have to do? Trust Jesus Christ. Trust Him with all your heart. And it's a done deal. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.